I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and boy, oh boy, has the world changed. I don't know. Has it changed? Is it going to change? Will it change? I think a lot of it depends on what we do. Now, we see that there's a so-called president-elect in Biden. Now, this has been by the media. This has not been certified by anybody. I think there's still some votes to be counted. I think President Trump has not conceded, and he should not at this particular time. But the reality is, how did we get here? How did this happen? Didn't we see rallies with 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people lining up for President Trump and six people for Joe Biden? How is it that this happened? Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. I am not confident in the courts to do the right thing. I am not confident that the media will have anything to do with the truth. They don't want anything to do with the truth. So even if they found unbelievable smoking gun evidence that there was fraud in the thousands and thousands and thousands of ballots, they would not report it. They would hide it. They would disturb it. They would not come forward with it. So I have no confidence in the media at all to be interested. They weren't interested in a coup d'etat. And how much can we talk about that? The reality is, we've had an election now, and the plan that unfolded before all of our very eyes was exactly what our friends on the left wanted to do. That's why they did all they did here with this write-in voting, mail-in voting. Exactly what you saw. People went out to the polls and they voted, and at the last minute, oh, guess what? We have 80 million votes to count. And guess what? Oh, every one of them is for Joe Biden. Imagine that. Now, statistically, let's look at the one state, Michigan. There was 138,000 ballots that showed up as write-in ballots or mail-in ballots, whatever they are. They didn't come in till the very end. Okay? So they didn't come in till the very end, and suddenly, every one of them was for Joe Biden. Now, the statistics that we hear from the media and from other people is that you can figure about 80% of any given area is going to vote for one particular candidate or the other. In relation to this election, we knew that most of the mail-in voting would probably be done by people who are democratically inclined, the Democrat Party people, that they would vote for Joe Biden and they would use the mail-in voting. So if 80% of them were there, you would say, okay, I kind of get that. That's who really wants to use this, the Democratic people. So let's round that number to 140,000 votes. 140,000 votes came in, and you're anticipating that 80% of them will be for Joe Biden. That would mean that 28,000 of them should statistically be for Donald Trump. But when we saw that vote dump, there were none for Donald Trump. All of them were for Joe Biden. How is that statistically possible? How is that statistically possible? That nobody in those early voting voted for Trump. Nobody who's been so sick and tired of the media and the left and the lies and all the things that have been coming after Trump didn't take that ballot in their hand, fill it out, and mail it in. Not one person who voted for Trump did that in that 138,000 vote dump they had? Absolutely astonishing. I think that's something just on that fact alone, you have to go look at it. You have to go take a look and see. Let's look at those ballots. Then we had the obvious nonsense where we're supposed to have vote watchers, right? You're supposed to have people from both sides sitting there examining what the counters are doing to make sure there's no fraud involved. And we saw that in place after place after place, the vote watchers were told they had to stay very far away. In some places, they boarded up the windows. They covered them so people couldn't see them in their counting. What the hell are they hiding? How does this happen? And everyone just sits back and applauds. Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. What a great election. This worked out perfectly. I don't know that this worked out perfectly. I think this is a combination of a couple of things going on here. We know that our friends on the left for years have suffered Trump derangement syndrome, where they just lost their mind. They couldn't see anything good he did, and they blew everything else out of proportion. They made stuff up. they were crazy over this, right? Family and friends of mine are the same way. They're just absolutely crazy over this Trump derangement syndrome. Well, I think there's also another thing going on out there in the country. I think there's also Trump attack fatigue. I think so many people in our country are just so exhausted by the constant turmoil in our media and in the lifestyle of what's going on, that, you know, they're just exhausted by, you know, if Trump wasn't there, it would all just calm down. Sure, he did a lot of good things, but let's just be done with this now. Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. I really think there is a lot of that, because I've actually heard some people who are on the right, more conservative people, say exactly that to me. You know, I'd say, why are you okay with this? And like, listen, dude, we've been going through this for 4 years. Let's just move on. I mean, it's Joe Biden, but we got the Senate, so he's not going to be able to do anything. Really? He's not going to be able to do anything? Right now, he's talking about the mask mandate across the country. That's the first thing he's going to do. Then he's another one that says, I got a pen and I got a phone. And he's going to do all kinds of, you know, presidential decrees and executive orders to change things. Now, I'm interested to see how funny it's going to be when he comes up with an executive order. Does it immediately go to a court and the court blocks it? Are the courts going to block all his executive orders like they did to President Trump? What about the executive order that's going to wipe away everything Trump did? Is there a court going to jump up and say, no, you can't wipe out that? Like Trump tried to get rid of the DACA and they came back and said, no, that presidential order has to stand. Well, how can it stand? It's supposed to be up to the president. When the new president comes in and changes it, then it's changed. And the court said, no, you can't do that. Are the courts going to jump in here and say to Joe Biden, should he be formally elected as president, you can't change that. That Trump executive order has to stand, because that's really for the good of the people. Who are these judges that are acting as legislators, right? And that's, see, I'm going in a big circle here, but you get where I'm going. That's why I don't have any confidence in the courts. The only thing that these courts should say, is either something is either constitutional or it is not constitutional. They should not jump in and rewrite the law to make it constitutional. Who voted for them? Right? And this is what I'm afraid is going to happen. And the reason I'm really afraid of this is because of John Roberts. John Roberts, I think, is going to be another one of those people that we saw, oh, what a conservative guy. He's going to do the right thing. He's a traditionalist. He's going to read the Constitution and the law and just determine if it's constitutional. And he's already shown the handwriting on the wall when he changed Obamacare. President Obama came out and said, I wouldn't tax him. This is not a tax. And it got to the court. And instead of listening to the people who wrote the bill and their intentions, he said, well, actually, it is a tax. And if it's a tax, they're allowed to do it. So I'm going to let it go through. Instead of looking at it and saying, well, they say it's not a tax, so it's not a tax. And based on that, then it's whatever this is. And that is not constitutional. That is how that ruling should have went. It's very clear. It's very simple. I know the law is filled with a lot of intricacies. But the reality is, having these super legislators, these unelected people, as the great Mark Levin would say, you know, these nine people in black robes making these decisions for all of our lives, that's not how it's supposed to go. You know, one of the things that we're looking at is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made a ruling that, while the ballot, the law says, as I understand it, I could be wrong, but as the law says, the voting has to be on November 3rd. So your ballots have to be in by November 3rd. Mail in, write in, walk in, put on the back of a donkey, however you're going to get them there. They have to be there by midnight on November 3rd, because the next day is November 4th, and that's not Election Day. Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, nah, they can come in without postmarks. They can come in 2 days later. You can keep on counting whatever comes in up till Friday. That's changing the law. The legislature changed the law. The judges do not change the law. So because that judge or that Supreme Court in Pennsylvania changed the law, they altered the results of the election. So if we remember back to Bush versus Gore, the Florida Supreme Court was doing the same thing. The law was you had to have your votes in or you had to count by this day. And they said, no, we're going to let you count for 3 more days. And then, no, that's not enough. You're going to count for 5 more. And they kept changing the law. When it finally got to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court looked at it and said, your state law says you will be done counting by this date. That's therefore, all counting now has to come to an end. Whatever number you got, that's the legitimate number. That is what I would be hoping that this Supreme Court would do, would look at precedent. Now, I know for my lawyer friends out there, it's not exactly the precedent, but it seems to me pretty darn close. If Pennsylvania law said you had to have your vote in by midnight on the 3rd of November, then you can't count a vote that comes in at 2 minutes after midnight on November 4th. Can't do it. Unfortunately, that would be like, and I've had people say to me, Joe, how can you say that? You want to disenfranchise all those people? No. Here's an example. You're on a business trip. We don't have mail-in balloting. We have show up at the polls and cast your vote. The polls close in your state at 9 o'clock at night. You show up at 10:30 because you were late. 10:30 at night. The lines are gone. Everyone's done. They're packing up the stuff. And you walk in and say, hey, I want to vote. It's election day. And they say, no, sorry, you're too late. You missed it. You should have been here sooner. The polls are closed now. They don't go, oh, well, it's still election day. We'll take your vote. You know what? I'm going to show up tomorrow because I was tired today on election day. I'm going to show up Thursday. I should still get to vote, right? I should be able to push that button or pop that chat or whatever it is we do in my state. Shouldn't I be able to do that the next day? No. No, you missed it. You missed the election, right? Isn't that what happened here? But we have the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and their attorney general who was basically saying he guaranteed that Biden would win. They let him keep voting and they keep counting and they keep voting and they keep counting. And they made up a 600,000 point vote deficit overnight to the point that Joe Biden overtook Donald Trump because they keep counting. Does anybody else not see that that's potentially where the fraud is? That was the whole purpose of the Democratic Party and our friends on the left coming up with this vote-in ballot thing, and that the pandemic just worked out to their benefit because they could scare everyone to death? Am I the only one that sees that? Hello? Hello, McFly, does anybody else see that this is a problem? This could change everything going forward. So right now, our country is in turmoil. We're trying to figure out what's right or wrong. What happens if the Supreme Court looks at the law in all these states and realizes that, first of all, they weren't open, they weren't transparent, they didn't follow judges' rules that said you got to let the observers in there to count everything and see what's going on. They overextended themselves. The legislatures did not change the law. The judges changed the law. And the Supreme Court of the United States says, nope, you go back to whatever the count was at the stroke of midnight on November 3rd. Write-in ballots, fly-in ballots, ballots in person, ballots on the back of coffee cups, whatever you got, whatever you had at the stroke of midnight on November 4th, you know what I mean? November 3rd, boom, it's over to the next day. Whatever you had there, that's the result of your election. Now, that's probably the right thing to do. I'm going to say that's probably the right thing to do. Changing the law on the fly. Because what we do is we're scared to death that people will be disenfranchised. People will be disenfranchised. But we're not scared to death to tell you when you show up a half an hour after the polls closed that you can't vote. We're not afraid of that disenfranchisement. I'm right here. Here I am. There's the voting booth. It's still there. There's still people inside sweeping the floor. Why can't I push the button? Right? Because we're so caught up in the rhetoric and the game and the narrative that has been created around this that you must be racist. You must be a hater. You must be a right-wing nut. You must be somebody. All we want is a fair election. If you lose, you lose. That's how it goes. If the people in the country legitimately, look up the word, legitimately said Joe Biden should be the president and we want to go back to the Obama era, we want to go back to higher taxes, low GDP, we want to go back to a time of open borders, we want to let everybody in. If that's what everyone voted for, the majority voted for legitimately, then that's how it should come out because that's the purpose of the vote. I may not like it. Might not be what I would want to do, but if they legitimately won, then they get to do their plans. That's how this works out. You present your ideas, you present the best ideas you got, and then people will choose which way they want to go. What is not appropriate is when that system is gamed, when that system is played, when that system is manipulated, and when fraud is involved, and because it suits one side or the other, everyone's okay with it. That's not good. That is not a free people. That's the problem with this. If Joe Biden legitimately won, well, then we have to suffer the consequences of his left-wing thinking. If he's not legitimately elected and this was stolen, what's the difference between us and the Soviet Union? When they count the votes, and guess what? Stalin got 99.9% of the vote. And the other 0.1%, well, they voted the other way and they were executed at 6 in the morning. But the bottom line is that what our election is now? Is our election, because of this write-in, you know, vote from home, is allowed to take place, that you can fraud up, you know, paper? When you got paper, you can fraud it up. There are so many anecdotal evidences, which, that's another thing I would have to say. President Trump, I get the idea you feel this was taken from you, that this was, you were played on this, that all of us, because it's not just Trump, it's all of us who supported Trump were played. I get that. And I keep hearing from person after person, there is so much evidence, it's going to make your head spin, it's going to change the world, it's going to, well, you know what, it's been days since the election, let me see some of the evidence, other than just saying, a guy named Newt said he was staring in a window and they wouldn't let him look in there. No, where is the evidence? Show us the evidence now. Call a press conference today with the Attorney General of the United States and go, listen, here's the evidence we have. There has clearly been some kind of fraud here and we have to look at it. So that begs the question. They say even if there is fraud, it's not enough to overturn the election. So apparently some kind of fraud is allowed. But if it would change the course of the election, then it's not allowed. But the reality is we can't really tell how much fraud was done. So therefore, we're going to assume that not enough was done to change the election. Therefore, the election stands even with the fraud. Does that make sense to anybody? What if they were just really, really good at cheating us? Didn't they almost get away with a coup d'etat? Right? Have we heard that report yet? Have we heard that report yet from the Attorney General? Has he come out and said, here's all the people that did illegal things trying to take away the last election? Not from Donald Trump. Of course, he was the vessel of that. But from us, from those people who voted for him. Have we heard anything? Have we seen anybody get in trouble but the one low-level guy who changed the FISA warrant? Why didn't we have that report before this election so we could make a decision? Why didn't we have it? The deep state is very, very deep, apparently. And I, if you've been listening, I've been saying this for the longest time. The Attorney General seemed like a very squared away kind of guy. He was going to do the right thing. He was about justice and reality. And I sure hope that maybe in the next couple of weeks that report comes out and we see it. But I have said all along that exactly what is happening is what I expected to happen. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am completely wrong and proved wrong. But as of right now, we were supposed to get it in March. Then we're going to get it in July. Then we're going to get, oh, then the pandemic, we can't do it then. We can't do it. Now we have nothing. So my prediction all along has been, here's a cast of co-conspirators that are unindicted. Unindicted co-conspirators. All these people did things wrong, but not enough to charge people. We don't have enough to prove they actually had intent to create a coup d'etat. And therefore, it's all over and gone. Bye-bye. Unfortunately, this is where I sit. So a friend of mine said, man, you sound really depressed. I'm not depressed at all. And I'm not frustrated. I am sad that this is the state of where we might be right now. So, hey, how did you vote? Do you think your vote was counted? Do you think you were cheated? I don't know. We'll be back in a little bit with round two here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and this is the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, I got myself a little wound up there in segment one, and I'm trying to look a little more introspectively. I'm trying to think things through a little bit. Let's look at the whole conversation here, that at least we held the Senate. In reality, we may not be holding the Senate, right? There are two runoff elections in the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia that for the first time in umpteen years went apparently for a Democratic candidate, if it was legitimate. See, now, isn't that funny? Is that the asterisk we're going to hear for forever and ever now? You know, Nevada went for Joe Biden, asterisk, if they counted all only legal votes. If they counted everybody else's votes, then probably not. And but that history change, this is the problem with this going forward. Trying to understand. So we may lose the Senate, actually. We have a state that went for apparently Joe Biden, and we have two runoff elections between Republicans and Democrats, and it could go either way, right? The Republicans only have to hold one of those seats to maintain the majority in the Senate. But what's the chances that they would lose too? What if there's been fraud there also? What if we find, surprise, surprise, we realize, all I have to do is win both of those seats and they control the Senate. And now we found another truckload of another 125,000 volts that we didn't know where they were. And every one of them is for the Democrat Senate. Oh, imagine that. Is that possible? Is it right now? Don't you sit there right now? And are you scratching your head and go, no, that would... No, that is distinctly possible that can happen. That's why they delay and delay and delay. How is it that you can have states that had mail-in votes like Florida? How many people are in Florida? They had mail-in votes. They had everything. And they had their numbers the night of the race. Most of the other states, lots of other states, not most, lots of other states, the majority, had their vote that night. They could tell you who won and who lost. Why is it that these partisan left-wing states are still counting? Why did they stop? Did they stop because they had to examine exactly where the numbers were and figure out how many votes they needed? Is that really what happened? Do you realize what that is? I'm gonna speak right now to my friends on the left, my friends and family on the left that I know are listening. I told you in a previous episode that I saw a reporter going around and speaking to people about the election saying, listen, if it was proved that there was voter fraud in favor of Joe Biden, would you be okay with that? And to a person, and there was probably seven or eight people I saw, to a person, they all said, well, listen, that's probably wrong, but if it gets rid of Trump, I'm okay with it. So my friends on the left, do you understand where this puts us as a people, as a free nation, as a country going forward? That we're okay with fraud if it benefits us. It's okay with fraud if it benefits us. It's okay to find the wallet bouncing down the street and pick it up and take the money out of it, if I need the money. Well, it's only $20, so I'll give it back, but it's $1,000. You know, I could use that money and I found it. Is that the people we have become? I've talked about my father-in-law, Ted, many times on this program. And the reason that I do it is because Ted is 87 years old. He has seen a lot of history. He has seen a lot of the world. He's seen a lot of America over the years, and he's seen a lot of changes. And Ted very frustratingly keeps asking all the time, how come nobody comes forward and arrests these people for the cheating, for the lying, for the stuff that they did? Why is nobody arresting them? Because he comes from a time when your honor was everything. That if your party lost, well, you lost and you have to grin and bear it. You didn't cheat. You didn't lie. You didn't steal. Your honor was at stake. We have people on national TV talking to a reporter saying, yeah, it's probably wrong if fraud in there, but if it gets rid of Trump, I'm okay with it. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife, Kathleen, and she was remembering a time. This was the exact conversation we're talking about, you know, honor and dignity and righteousness and justice. Isn't that what chasing justice is all about? Chasing justice in all of its forms? And she was saying that she remembers a time when she was at a store. I know she was probably 12 or 13 with two of her girlfriends. And they're coming out of the store, and the other two girls had actually stolen something. And the store manager saw them and grabbed those two girls. And Kathleen comes over and sees, you know, what's going on? And they, did you take anything? She goes, I didn't take anything. Who took anything? And the girl said, yeah, we took this stuff. Well, the only person that could get to come pick them all up was Kathleen's mom. So she picks them up, talks to the store manager, and she's get the girls in the car. And she's talking to them and she's saying, you know, girls, why would you do such a thing? And her comment was, do you realize that if this got out, your name would be mud? Now, that's a silly phrase. Your name would be mud. But it goes to my point very clearly. Your name will be mud. In other words, if people thought you were a thief, a stealer, your honor would be damaged. That meant something at some point in time. Does it matter anymore today? We see so much fraud, and it's applauded. We see lying media that we can't trust, and it's applauded. It is horrifying to me when I look at this and I say, you try and raise children, and you want to raise them to do the right thing. You want to raise them to honor, right? You know, I don't know if I ever told this story, but I was coming home from a store one night. It was dark, and it was winter time. You know, I went out to the food store or something to pick something up for my family here. And I'm stopped at a side street on a big highway. There's a big highway. I got to turn onto this big highway. And all of a sudden, I see something along the curb line. And I look down, and it's bills, $20 bills. And they're floating down the road. You know, they're rolling, blowing in the wind. So I jumped out of the car, and I scoop them all up. And I think altogether it was like $120 or $140. I'm like, holy moly. I look around. There's nobody there. The highway is empty. It was wintertime. There's nobody there, but this money's just blowing down the road. All the stores are closed. I'm saying, whose money could this be? I don't know. So I go home, and I'm recounting the story to my wife and my kids. And my oldest son at the time, Joe, he says to me, what if that's an old lady's money and it fell out of her purse? I said, Joe, that's a really good question. I said, how do we know the old lady? Who do we give it to? And that's when Kathleen said, why don't you take it to the police station and turn it in? Where would you go if you lost your money? Would you go to the police? You might. She goes, why don't you go turn it into the police and see if anybody comes for it? I said, okay, I'll do that. I wanted to teach my kids a lesson. Now, there's no way we're going to find out who owns this money. That's just the reality. But I wanted them to see this. So I packed two boys into the car. We drove to the police station, and I go to turn it in at the window, and the officer at the window says, nobody called in to report any missing money. I mean, this is kind of like a silly thing to do, right? I'm like, listen, it could be somebody's money. They might not even realize they're missing the money until tomorrow. Here's the money. Just put it in the thing and do whatever you do. See, safekeeping, they call it. He goes, all right, well, we keep it, I think, 30 days or 60 days, whatever it is. And if nobody claims it, you can come back and get it. So he did a property report, and I turned it in. And I'm in the car with the boys, and I'm like, fellas, do you realize that, Joe, that was a great question you asked. What if it's an old lady's money, and this is all the money she had in the world? And sure, $120 would be nice, you know, but it's somebody else's money. It's not ours. You know, we earn our money. We work for our money. If it turns out in 30 days or whatever it was, 60 days, that nobody claims it, okay, then we could pick it up. We found the money. Lucky us. But the first thing to do is the right thing to do. Turn it in. If it belongs to someone, let them come and get it. Do we do that kind of thing anymore? I mean, what we're seeing in front of us with this election and this voter fraud, and the whole idea was at the last minute. I even remember news people coming out and saying, now, don't be excited, everyone, on election day, because we're not going to know the result for days. Well, that came true. Then we saw President Trump saying, a lot of this can be faked up. This is dangerous. We shouldn't do this to our country. And that has come true so far. Then we saw people saying, listen, don't be concerned if at the end of election day, President Trump looks like he's way ahead, because then we have to count all those write-in votes and things will probably change. Well, isn't that exactly what happened? They're even calling it. Even the left-wing media is calling it a vote dump. So they got their numbers. Oh, look at where Trump is. And suddenly there's a vote dump. And now Joe Biden not only made up the distance, he went way ahead. Now, if that's what really happened, like I said before, if that's what really happened, then that's what really happened. We accept it and we move on, right? We come up with a better argument next time, a better candidate, better plans, and we ask people to vote for us. But if that's not what happened, and this is being faked right in front of us, you realize this is like, you know, they talk about a nail in the coffin. Well, say there's 50 nails in the coffin. This is probably 40 of them. You do away with free elections, and we are a tyranny. See, but to the average person sitting at home having their coffee or getting ready to make their dinner or having their 14th cocktail of the day, that's not real. None of that stuff's real. We're not going to take away our democracy, our rights. We're not going to do any of that. It's exactly what's happening to us right in front of our eyes. Now, all the things that people liked about Donald Trump, not his personality. I get that. People didn't like that. He was abrasive. He was whatever for them. Okay, I like the fact that he just spoke from the heart, that he was just a regular guy and not a politician who parses every single word that comes out of his mouth to please people. But I liked what he did. You know, the Paris Accords didn't help us as a country. It penalized us in this game of climate change, which is another scam. The climate is changing. I believe the climate is changing. But I believe it's changing because we're on a planet, a rock floating through outer space, right? We're affected by the sun, affected by a lot of different things. I think pollution is real. There is pollution in the earth. I don't think any change we're seeing is because we have SUVs and it's our fault. I think it's the natural occurrence. Did you realize that 14,000 years ago, there was an ice age? Where I'm sitting here in New Jersey was under 2 miles of ice. And then you know what happened? The climate changed and it melted. And it got nice again. Do you realize that there's some explorers now that are down in Antarctica? And they're digging down, And you know what they find? Remnants of plants and things, you know, seeds and geological evidence that there was palm trees there. There was palm trees and all kinds of stuff underneath, you know, 20 miles of ice. And what happened? The climate changed and it got cold. Well, then the climate changes and it gets warm. Right? It's a cycle. It's a cyclical thing about living on a planet, a rock floating through outer space. Now, pollution is not good. We should cut down on all the pollution we can. But we left the Paris Climate Accords because it was an attack on the United States that didn't affect the other countries the same way it would affect us to affect our economy. You know the new normal thing that we had to go through with Obama? Low GDP, low jobs, a lot of people on welfare, people not being able to take care of their families, all that kind of stuff. And Trump got us out of that. Now Joe Biden says, we're going right back in it. Now that I'm here, we're going right back into the climate peace accords or climate change accords, and America is going to pay the penalty. He said he's going to probably ease back on the tariffs that President Trump put on the Chinese so that it supported American industries for a change, which means the steel industry, which is just starting to come back, doing a good thing, lots of jobs, lots of American steel, that's probably going to fade away. No matter what he has said during the election time, we know he's against fracking, and we know his vice president, who probably will end up being the president within the next 4 years, has said absolutely fossil fuel and fracking is going to end, right? So that takes care of all them fracking jobs. So you think all those people in Pennsylvania voted to lose their jobs? You think they threw the vote to say, you know what? I don't really like my new high-paying job, new lifestyle, the home I bought for my family, the fact I haven't had work in years and now I have a great job. I think they just threw that all away because they don't like what Donald Trump says on a tweet. He says bad things on a tweet. You think that's really what happened here? Anecdotally, it's not right. But it all goes back to, that's my concern, my father-in-law Ted saying, why isn't there somebody that comes forward and locks up these people that are lying? And really what he means there, what he's talking about there, is that who's going to come forward and lock them up? That used to be all of us. That used to be our united conscience. That used to be our united belief that personal honor, integrity, was the most important thing you would have. It's not so much anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. Do you really think that's how this world works now? That back in the day, there was a thing, your handshake was your contract. And people lived by that. Do you think they live by that now? Where have we come? What is our future going to be if this is the world we're in? So when I talk about that and I listen to Ted and he says, where are these people? We have evidence in front of us of all kinds of criminal activity by people. And the Attorney General of the United States, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's playing with a fidget spinner. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's packing his bags because it's time to go. I don't know. Maybe he's got a devastating report and they're going to indict a ton of people. It certainly don't seem like that. It doesn't seem like there's anybody out there that's worrying about justice, that's worrying about truth, that's worrying about honor. I don't see it. That's the problem. Why don't I see that instead of seeing the opposite so blatantly displayed? You know, with people are the connection between all of us. That's the connective tissue to all of us is people. And you go out and talk to people, there are some people that are Biden supporters that are just thrilled to get rid of Trump. And that's what they're thrilled about. Not his policies. They're thrilled to get rid of Trump. And then you talk to Trump supporters who are upset, not that Trump is going to have to leave him personally, but that all the stuff he's been doing to make our country better, stronger, more valuable is being removed because people don't like the way he talks. I don't understand it. I don't like people when they say nasty things either. But you know what? It's results. And the results are all coming down to either the election was legitimate, and that's the way we went, and then we should all just accept it and move on. Or it was not legitimate, and we should get to the bottom of it. Wouldn't you want to know? I guess that's the question. I'll be that reporter that I spoke about, and I'm asking you, if the election turns out, if we could prove that there was enough fraud, that it was faked up, that the vote dump at the end of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning was fraudulent, and Joe Biden should not be the president, would you say, hey, I think that's absolutely great, and we should do that? Or are you one of these people that's going to say, nah, whatever we got to do to get rid of Trump, that's the most important thing. And to those who say it should be legitimate, either way, that's what I say. If it's legitimate, Joe Biden, then congratulations, Joe Biden. I hope you do the right things as president. If it's not legitimate, then we cannot let this stand. As a democracy, as a people, as a free people, we cannot let it stand. Let's do the counts. Let's go back and look. And how much fraud is enough to say there was fraud? So the argument that, well, there's not enough to overturn the election. If there was any fraud, people were disenfranchised. Isn't that what they scream and holler about? Don't disenfranchise anybody. Well, that's what they did. If there was any fraud anywhere, should the courts not act appropriately and make a decision? Now, you think you've seen craziness up to now? Can you imagine if they were to change the vote back to what it was at the stroke of midnight, at the end of Election Day? Can you imagine what would happen in our country? And that's another corruption, that we have to worry about violence over an election. Who are we? God bless America. I hope we can find ourselves soon. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice. We'll be back in a minute with round three here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
All the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
I'm back. Chasing Justice with Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. You know, we talk about the name of this program. When I was first offered to do this program, which I was unbelievably honored and flattered that somebody would want to listen to what I have to say. And that really reminds me to thank all of you, because I know our numbers are growing. They're telling me the numbers are growing by the thousands. I think it's absolutely amazing that anybody would want to sit and spend time with me. So I'm very grateful to each and every one of you that do spend time with me here, every weekday at 3 o'clock. And all over the place, all over the dial on the weekends, they run the show different times. And then the podcasts. You know, we're on all these different podcast networks. If you really want to go back and listen, go join up AmericaOutLoud.com, get it on the application on your phone, get it on your computer, and then go to the podcast. And you can listen to all my wisdom going all the way back in the day. Now, as we're going forward here, I look at this and I'm saying, if we're going to go by the way things are now with the situation, and Joe Biden is going to be the president, and he's going to redo the Paris Peace Accords. We're going to go back into that. He's going to try and get rid of the Trump tax cuts. I don't know that he can, but that will damage the economy. That will damage the economy seriously. Now he's talking about a mask mandate with the COVID-19. And the only bright spot I see here is because the media will be pushing so hard to prove that Joe Biden solved the COVID-19 problem when Trump couldn't do it for over a year. The pandemic will probably come to an end rather shortly after November 21st, because the brilliance and the wisdom of Joe Biden will solve the problem, and that'll be the end of it. Never mind the fact that President Trump fast-tracked vaccines and potential cures and everything else. That won't matter. That'll all be forgotten. It'll be, well, look at that. Joe Biden took office on January 20th, and by February 20th, take the masks off, ladies and gentlemen. It's just regular flu season now. We can go on with our lives. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't that be interesting? You think that could happen? I don't know. I think it could. We don't have a lot of honor here. It's not a lot of honor left, and I think that's the sad part. That's the sad part for my country. So I'm not frustrated. I am not depressed. I always look forward. The world has a lot to offer us. You know what? Because God is out there. God is out there. God is the real reason that we're all here in the first place. And this is one of those moments we lose track of that. You know, what I was saying, people are the connective tissue to everything. You know, talking to different people, you hear all these different things. And a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who was struggling, but really trying hard to get his life together, was really starting to make some progress. And since the election, he's been texting me and calling me that he is now so upset that this would happen to his country, that he can't understand why people would want to go backwards. He said the economy was so bad where he was. He was barely surviving, but now he's actually got overtime, he's got a better job, and that's all going to be taken away from him. He's like, you know what I should do? I should just take all the government benefits I can find. I should play the game. If that's what they want to do, I should take it. I should go back to school and get free college. I should get free health care. I should get free housing. I should get stimulus checks every other week. I should just let the government take care of me and just take as much as I can possibly get. And I had to say, is that really what you want to do? And he said, no, of course not. That's not what I want to do. I want to earn my own living. I want to earn my own status in the world. I want to take care of myself. But you know what? The powers that be are not allowing me to do that. They're pushing me in the other direction. So when we look at the potentials of what could possibly happen, we say the tax cuts can be tried to go away. I don't know if they can do that without the Senate, but we might not have the Senate. Remember that. If we don't have the Senate, and even if Nancy Pelosi has a one-vote margin in the Congress, the tax cuts will go away. They will do things that you can't stop. Because we've talked about that. What power do you actually have? They're going to come up with a Second Amendment change that they're going to vote for. And you can no longer have semi-automatic weapons. You can have a shotgun and a revolver. And that's it. And then they're going to go around knocking on your door asking for your guns. And a lot of people, you know, run their mouths. And I say this with most respect. They run their mouth. They're not taking my guns. I'm going to have to get a fight. They're going to get my guns. Well, you know what? There's probably a couple people that would do that. The majority of us are law-abiding citizens, and we just go, well, I don't agree with this, and they would hand over their weapons. And that's the reality of where this is probably going to go. So, my friends, what does this matter? Does any of this really matter to you? I think it does to us here on Chasing Justice. You know, when I came up with the name, it's really about finding justice in all its forms everywhere, whether it's in a criminal justice, in social justice, in life justice, justice between friends and family. You know, where are we going with all? Is this going to make a difference to any of us? Are any of us going to rise up? So if we have to give up our guns, we got to give up our guns. And then what's next? So Joe Biden's going to use the pen and a phone, like his mentor, President Obama, did. And the media is going to scream and holler, that's the greatest thing in the world. Everything he does is going to be great. There'll be no follow-up. Whatever happened to the stuff with him and his son, Mr. Biden's son, Hunter, there, doing all these crazy business deals? Where's all those business deals? Whatever happened with that? Did we ever find out if it's true or not? Well, he said it wasn't, so therefore, we don't investigate. We don't even talk about it. We don't even ask about it because Joe Biden said it's not true. And he is the virtuous one in the crowd, right? He is honor and he is integrity, unsurpassed. Well, that's what they're telling us. Unfortunately, this is his third run at the presidency. The last two times he ran for president, he had to bail out because of, plagiarism and other nonsense that made him unfit for the office. But now, he's completely fit for the office now. It's unbelievable that he's now perfectly appropriate to be the president of the United States. That we didn't look at him, he could hide in his basement, all of that. Doesn't that change the whole paradigm? The next time there's an election, do you have to actually go out and do anything? Can you just stay home and give a press conference once every 4 days and take naps and, people just vote for you, right? Is that really, there's so much change here that we're looking at. Now, maybe it's all pandemic. Maybe it's all this nasty 2020, the year 2020 that got us all. And hopefully, the spell will be over in 2021. Although, as a friend of mine was nice to point out, the movie Mad Max, about the dystopian future, apparently that takes place in 2021. So is the year 2020 simply setting the stage for the nightmare we have before us in 2021? Or will things get better? Now, let's take a positive view. The rancor and the arguing and all of that nonsense that goes on after Donald Trump was president, maybe that goes away if Joe Biden is president, because we'll all heal. Those of us on the right will all heal. We don't riot. We don't go out and burn. Where's all the rioting and burning that we think? How many millions of people think that they've been cheated out of this election? And which cities are on fire? Which Republican cities are burning tonight? Where are people looting, smashing windows, attacking each other, turning over cars because we were cheated out of the election, right? Just the potential that Trump would have won was causing violence. And imagine if they overturn these elections in these states or do a do-over or whatever they do. Do you expect that there would be violence? I think we all know that there will be violence if something like that happens. But where's our violence? Where's the violence on the right? They're always scared to death of people on the right. People on the right, they're crazy. They got their guns and they got their God and they'll go crazy. And they got this QAnon and all this conspiracy stuff about people on the right. Well, millions and millions and millions of people who are on the right politically feel they have been cheated out of this election. Even though there's not a lot of evidence that we've seen so far, there's anecdotal evidence, which is pretty clear, but there's no real evidence. Where's the investigation? None of that. Are we rioting? Are people out rioting and burning and going crazy over the fact that they're going to take this from us? And that's one of the reasons that I say, they could come up with we're taking your gun ban, and people, I'd fight that. I wouldn't let them come in my house. They ain't taking my guns. And really? No, I think people would just put them on the porch with a nasty note, because that's the fight that's in us. That's the fight that's in us. And I don't know that that's the way you maintain a democracy. I don't know you maintain a democracy by just being good and decent all the time and accepting whatever you're told is right. That's the way to tyranny. That's the way to imprisonment. That's the way to shutting down of your ideas and shutting down of the world. I think that is more realistic than just about anything else. And I'm not happy with it. So I've said in a couple of articles and some tweets that I put out there, I'm a pretty middle of the road kind of guy. I listen to both sides. I lean more to the conservative side. I'm more of a do-it-yourself kind of guy than somebody on the left that wants someone to do it for me. If I don't get what I want because I couldn't earn it, I'm not looking for somebody to give it to me. And I think that's acceptable. And people that are the other way, okay, like my friend saying, maybe I should just take all the government benefits I can find. Maybe that's the way to go. I don't know, but I don't know that this is good for the country. I don't know this is good for our soul. We're already, looks like we're losing our ability to honor and to honor our word and to honor doing the right thing as the most important thing in the world. I don't know that we can get that back. How do you get that back? Does that come back to you after you fight for it? Does that come back to you after you have it taken away from you? Do we have to suffer for years and then rise up? Are we looking for new forefathers to come forward and make this new America again? Or are we just going to put up with 4 years of left-wing politics and all that it's going to rot and then deal with it? Now, what exactly will happen in 4 years with a left-wing government? Well, we know our taxes will go up. We know that more people will find themselves impoverished. We know that businesses will shut down. We know that healthcare costs will continue to skyrocket. We will probably socialize medicine again. We will probably socialize lots of different things that we don't have. And after 4 years, are we willing to vote for anyone other than a left-wing person? Will we now flip the script and you'll have a Congress and a Senate and a president that are on the right to fix things again? When are we ever going to learn this stupid lesson? How many times do we have to do this over and over and over again? Just when things start to get good, we turn around and go, oh, let's do it the other way now. Let's give that a try. Let's act like, and we upturn the entire apple cart and ruin everything, and then we have to start over again. Why would there have to be any suffering? You know, a booming economy helps everyone. I don't care that the rich guys get richer. God bless them. They have jobs. They make jobs for people. All right? An economy that everyone can have a job, can take care of their family, makes for happier people. It makes for an opportunity to educate your children. It makes for an opportunity to do the right things in life. If we're not doing that, where are we going? How does going backwards gonna help us? How does anyone being in misery help us? That, you know, at least we're all in misery together? Is that the idea? Now, do our friends on the left, do they really think that their plans are going to really make things better? That getting rid of that tax cut for these businesses, they're going to pay their fair share. Just like that no one under $400,000 is going to pay any more tax. It's just them rich guys going to have to pay more. How does that serve justice for you to reach into somebody else's pocket to take something out of their pocket that they earned? Right? Because there's always somebody who makes less than you who will think, well, I should just reach into your pocket because you make more than me. You don't need that much. Isn't that true? So where are we going here, ladies and gentlemen? What are we doing? And that's really my question is, who are we as a people? Who have we become? What are we morphing into? What will we become in the future? You know, everybody likes to say, well, there's enough patriots out here to keep things right. Does it look like that according to the election results? Does it look like that? That there's enough patriots out here to keep the world a democracy and freedom and liberty and justice? Is that what it looks like to you? Because I'd have to say, if Trump lost, then lots and lots of people who voted for him last time didn't vote for him this time. And now we've decided to go back to the good old days of the Obama administration, back to the good old days of high unemployment and, you know, as good as it gets. And, you know, the factories all shut back down again and go away. Oh, guess what? That's Arthur in the back saying hi, everybody. You know, it's one of these things where we have our rescue boy. And, you know, are people going to rescue dogs if they don't have money? It's a simple thing, but... You know, Arthur pops in once in a while. He likes to say hi because he knows I'm talking to everybody out there. It's just, I'm trying to figure out where we're going. What's going to happen for my grandchildren, for my children? I'm not done with my trajectory yet. I still got a lot more things to do, a lot more life ahead of me. And I want to do it in freedom and liberty. And I want to do it where I can afford to take care of myself, take care of my family, help people who need it. You know, we help a lot of people with whatever we can. We've been blessed and we try to do the right thing. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. But I try and help who I can help. You know, you help people, you do that. That's what America is all about. And that's the danger of allowing a fraudulent election to go by without doing anything about it. That is the danger. If we sit back and we say, well, let's just give up. Let's just acquiesce. You know, they won this one, even though it looks like fraud. Let's just, for the good of the country, let's just be quiet and move along. Well, what we're doing is saying, let's acquiesce to tyranny, who just stepped in, stole this election, and we're all going to be okay with that. Because you know what? We don't want to cause trouble. We don't want it to be worse than it is now, right? We want it to be better. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, no, I don't think it's that awesome. I'm a little concerned about it. And I'm trying to figure out what it is I can do. So the best I can do right now is to talk to you. To say, hey, what's going on? How are we doing here? What are we going to do next? I don't know, but I'm glad that you're out there. You know, here on Chasing Justice, we do appreciate everybody there. The guys in the neighborhood want to say hi. We'll get them back on in the next couple of episodes, hopefully, because they do have a lot to say. But they're out there trying to figure out what they're going to do and where they're going to go and what all of this means to them. Isn't that what we're all doing out there? We're trying to figure out what this means to each and every one of us. And are you going to go join a protest? I see President Trump wants to now have these rallies that are talking about the injustice that happened. Are you going to go to those rallies? I went to the election rallies. They were really awesome. Matter of fact, there's actually a committee here at my house of neighbors. You know, I didn't want to say anything about it, but there's a committee of neighbors here at my house trying to decide, are we going to, as a group, go to one of them? Are we going to host one? Are we going to write letters and just say, we want to know the truth. We want to know what happened with this election. Is it real? Is it not real? You know, I see a group of congressmen wrote to the attorney general and want to know, hey, what happened here? What are you doing? Well, that's what we got going on right now. We knew we were going to be putting on the show today, and I was going to bring all these people on here to say stuff. But, you know, it gets unwieldy when you get too many people screaming and hollering into a microphone. But we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. You know, and that's what I'm going to ask you. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and take it, or are you going to do something? Now, we're not going to riot. We're not going to burn. We're not going to attack. We're not going to do any of that stuff. That's not who we are. But we do have the power of law. Are we going to support those efforts? Are we going to write to the Attorney General? Are we going to write to our state and just say, audit this. If Biden won, Biden won. Congratulations, Mr. Biden. Good luck. Don't destroy the country. We hope you the best. Hope you know your plans actually work out the way you're saying they are. But if you didn't win, then you don't belong there. And the American people have had this stolen from them. So at this point, that's where I want to leave it for today, because we there's a lot of thinking to do yet. And I got a committee going on upstairs. Like I said, they're talking about things, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. What are you going to do for justice? What are you going to do for fairness? What are you going to do for America? Well, my friends, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Think about your freedom, your liberty, and your family, and think about this election. Was it fair or wasn't it? I guess only time will tell. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro signing off for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.